Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworksIreland.ie/movetogas.
Few comments on Anne Frank that we were just talking about. Dermot says, that's my day gone down the drain anyway. I've fallen headfirst into an online rabbit hole reading more about Anne Frank and your guest research. What a movie this will make. Well, that's depending on what they find out or don't find out. My 11-year-old daughter was doing a project on Anne Frank and wrote a poem. It started, Anne Frank lived in an attic. Nothing there was automatic. Not bad. Is it true that when Pia Zadora played the part of Anne Frank in a theatre production, she was so bad that when the German soldiers went into the house, the audience all shouted, "She's in the attic!" Ah, very funny. I'm obsessed by the Anne Frank story. I visited her house and read her diary several times. This is fascinating. Says Emmett, it is, isn't it? And on the subject of the Sputnik satellite, which was launched on this day in 1957, One time I had a Rastafarian girlfriend in the Caribbean, says Vincent. She wore her locks in a funny sticking out of her head fashion. I used to call her Sputnik. Indeed. And that's from Vincent in Ocean Ireland, who always has the absolute best stories. Apart from, of course, Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal. Mairead, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. I visited Anne Frank's house as well.
Did you?
I did. And it was more like, it was located off Grafton Street or somewhere, you know. City centre location, big old buildings, nice brownstone buildings, and the secret life that they had to live and the cramped conditions and no going out and just a fear of a light or a sound or anything. And it was right there in the middle of everything going on.
Well, that's what he's saying. It's kind of highly unbelievable that one of the neighbours, and there were a lot of informers around there, didn't see something or hear something.
Well, no, I believe the story. I believe it. But I still, they had a thing at the end of it, which I haven't seen in too many places, where you could talk to a screen and give your reaction to it. But I get updates every, you know, couple of months on it. But it made you think, you know.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Grim life. Anyway, what are the things you should look out for when you're buying a stock bull?
Now, a stock bull is the bull. Farmers, you know, if you've got a dairy herd, you get dairy bulls. You have to watch the Frisians because they can be kind of cross. If you have a suckler herd, which is, you know, producing calves that are going for beef, it's a different kind of bull you get as well. And the first bit of advice you get is you go look at them.
Right.
This is not something you buy online, right, or off a catalogue. You really need to go and have a good look because it's a big expenditure. I mean, stock bulls can cost you, you know, they can, I mean, you can pay 2,000 for a bull or you can pay 20,000 for a bull. I mean, depending on what you're looking for, the price, is the sky is the limit when it comes to price. So one of the things you're looking for is good feet, always, essentially. You might say, you know, like, why on earth would you want
good back feet?
Good, particularly good back feet.
Yes.
But good feet are absolutely essential. You can have all the kind of coordination and the configuration and the muscles in the right place. But if you don't have good legs, they won't do anything. They won't be inclined to do anything. And you're going to end up with a herd of cows with no calves growing in them, you know, after a couple of months and your money gone down the drain. And you're out of sync because, you know, you want your cows to be calving in March, April, that type of time, May maybe, when the grass is coming up and when the calves can get a good run at, you know, the country for a couple of months, well, at least 6 months before their mums go off to have another baby. So if you miss out, if the bull is lame or something happens to him and he's not fertile, sure, there's a whole feed of cows that aren't fertile and your whole year goes kaput, basically. And you never get it back right again unless you take a whole year out. So they're always going to be calving at the wrong time. So anyway, so you need good feet. You want to make sure they're not paired or trimmed. Because if they have been paired or trimmed, it means you've got a nail grower. Now, it's all very well if you're young and hale and hearty, but bulls are bulls and, you know, you don't want to necessarily be down trying to pair their feet for them every so often. So you need
them. Will that not happen anyway, that their nails are grown?
Yeah, well, they should kind of, you know, they should be able to, you know, manage without having to have them paired.
Right,
and
okay.
So they're the ones you're looking out for most. Yeah, you need a bull that, like, stands up straight and you need one that walks straight with no limp. So anything to do with the feet, any trouble with the feet, bad idea. If you're buying, have a think about why you're buying the bull. A lot of farms, they're buying bulls because they want to replace the female stock, or they want to add the numbers of females they have. So in that case, what you have to do is you have to focus on what's called the maternal index. Now, ICBF is it's the kind of the breeding authority which rates all the bulls in the country, and you're recommended to go talk to these people or look at their booklets and what they're producing. But anyway, if you're looking for a bull that has mothers that wants to replace the maternal stock on the farm, you have to look at his maternal index, and that includes stuff like milk and fertility. So they'll be rated on how their progeny have scored when it comes to producing milk, how fertile they are, you know, are they good to go and calf, and the bull will be carrying some of those traits. So you're looking for those good traits in a bull. If you're looking for a bull because you want to finish animals for the factory, or you want to rear good solid weanlings and sell them on to the next farmer, what you're looking here is you're looking at the carcass weight, and you're looking at the conformation of an animal. The conformation is basically how well they're built. Basically, it's Conor McGregor versus the rest of them, you know. So just have a think, you know, when you're thinking of configuration, you're talking about muscles and proportion and all this sort of stuff, you know, versus like most of the rest of
them. Yeah.
So also, you have to try and avoid bulls that are considered to have excessive calving difficulties. Now, you know, that means that, you know, cows that they serve and look after, they may have problems calving. And if you're a full-time farmer, yes, you can possibly be there all the time and make sure that everything goes right and, you know, it works out well. But if you're a part-time farmer and you're not going to be around maybe for 10 or 12 hours, you should really consider that they're easy calving. And it sounds like kind of weird to have a bull marked easy calving, but it's actually, you know, what he produces, the calf he's half responsible for, what he produces, that it's not too big. So they're just some of the things. There's a lot to be looking out for, because it is an a big expenditure. But more than, you know, if you don't do it right, it's like being out of the championship for a year. You just, you know, you're falling at the first hurdle. You're not going to get on.
And are there records of all those things readily available if you go to look at a bull?
Yeah. Nowadays there are. There used to be in the past. It was what my mother used to call the scrub bull. Any old thing, you know, that would do the job. But now, you know, they're expensive animals. Now, of course, some people don't bother, and they, you know, they let the cows go and calf or whatever. But for people who are serious about their business, they need to be really comparing indexes. They need to get on and, you know, have a look at the indexes that are available and what people know about them. So there's a thing called the Whole Herd Recording Program, and it's accredited herds. They're the ones you're supposed to go to. So like, that's the best practice. It's not always the usual practice, but it's the best practice. And bulls, you know, they should be in the place about maybe 5 or 6 months before they're needed, so that they get used to it, maybe in a field with a couple of cows before they're introduced to the breeding herd.
Right.
They're talking about in the first year, don't overwork the bull, 20 to 25, maybe 30 at the maximum. And, you know, don't be giving him too much work to do, because he mightn't be fit to do it the year after. And you want a bit of time out of your bulls,
right,
a couple of years at least.
And so most farmers just buy them for their own herds. Would they ever rent them out?
No.
Pimp them out, I suppose, is more appropriate.
Yeah, well, that used to be what happened. You brought the cow to the bull, you bought the sow to the boar. Mm. I remember bringing sows at home to the boar and walking them down the road. My God almighty, when you're about 8 year old or 10 year old, and God, it was even worse when you were about 13 year old. You were
some education.
Yeah, but you were getting notions about yourself, and the last thing you wanted anyone to catch you doing was driving a sow down the road. And what are you doing with her? Bringing her to the boar. But in those days, back when I was a kid, you know, there was only maybe, you know, one sow in an area, and everybody brought everybody brought the sows to her. And it was the same kind of with a bull. But the thing about the bulls, they're all needed at the one time. So there's no point in letting you share
course,
a neighbour.
Yeah.
Because everybody needs to kind of have the cows going and calf, because that's why the maternity wards on farms will produce, I don't know, is it about 5 million calves or something incredible over a period of a couple of months next spring. So it's a busy time.
There's a rare breed of Kerry cow and a connection with Canada.
If you ever down in Mucra's house.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's Kerry cows down there. Mm. There's a whole herd of Kerry cows there. And they're lovely dark. They're like Maradona. They're nice and sturdy and blocky and, you know, but they're dainty enough. But they're grand and kind of, you know, nicely square proportioned. And there's a woman out in, of all places, a place called Tatlay Oka. It's a glacial valley, big lake there. It's got a range of mountains. The Newitt Mountain is at about 8,000 feet high. It's one of the highest, but it's in British Columbia in Canada.
Mm.
Now, it's a place where there's very little rain and where the temperatures go from plus 30 to minus 30 in the winter.
Yeah.
So they need sturdy stock, and they have Highland cattle out there and Shetland sheep, but they've all sorts of predators that we don't have anything to do with, such as grizzly and black bears, mountain lions, wolves, and any of these can take the cows. And then there's coyote and there's eagles to take to do damage to the lambs and the calves. So the cows aren't housed for winter, but they are given shelter and they are fed plenty of hay. And this lady, Eliza Mitchell, is farming out there, and she has bought 5 Kerry cows and heifers to put in the herd, and they're doing very, very well. And she reckons that that there's a market in that part of the world for families who want to have a cow to milk for the house. Just a single cow, because believe it or not, where she's living in Tatlay Oka Valley, the nearest town is 275 kilometres away.
But for people who live there, that's down the road.
The hospital, the grocery, the vet and the bank, 3 hours drive away. Now, they have satellite TV and they have landlines, but they don't have mobile phones.
Crikey.
So the idea of being able to have fresh milk every day by a sturdy little cow who's nice and docile and who can put up with the conditions without having to be mollycoddled is what they're looking for. So she reckons there's a market there, and she's got 5 of them.
Right. Okay.
So you never know.
That's a novel.
But there was this time now, it was, I don't know who it was, I think it was some woman down in Killarney who went to save the Kerry cow. There was very, very few breeding cows left in the country. And now it's one of the rare breeds, and, you know, it's throughout the country. I don't know the kind of numbers, but there's a rare breed society. This woman has joined the Irish Rare, or the US Rare Breed Society as well, or the US Kerry Society, actually. But I mean, it seems to be, you know, on the way back up. Now, it's probably not going to go back into ordinary herds. It's there as a rare breed, and people like to hold on to them. But certainly for what she's looking for, households with their own cow provide household milk every day, they fit the bill, and there's a new market.
That's
there,
great. Also, there's a story, though, closer at home in Meath, of a cow being deliberately killed.
This is above in Stamullen, and it's on the farm of Michael Kennedy, and he was checking his cows and his calves, the weanlings, you know, on Sunday, had a good check on them, everything was perfect. He came out on Monday to find, and this is what was very upsetting for him, it was a very docile, friendly cow, 14-year-old cow, which is quite ancient for a cow. He found her strangled and strung up, and it looks as if people intended to butcher her and take the meat off of her, but they cleared out of the place or whatever, he doesn't know. Now, the farm is not exactly on the side of the road or the field where the cows were. It's 1,500 metres off the public road. And, you know, what he says about her is she was very docile and very easy to handle. And he's gone to the police about it, or to the Gardaí about it. But he's asking people to keep an eye out and telling farmers to watch out. So it's in the townland of Herbertstown, Stamullen, that piece of particular cruelty took place.
But it seemed as if they wanted to butcher the cow.
To butcher the cow, take the meat off her. But they either got disturbed, or they didn't have what they needed, or we don't know. But he checked them on Sunday, everything was fine. And when he checked them on Monday, this is what he found.
Right. That's very disturbing.
Yeah.
Very quickly, you've the results of the NDC Quality Milk Awards.
Yeah, literally hot off the press. They just took place an hour ago, and it's the Kerrygold NDC, and they're going since 1996. John and Maria Walsh from County Tipperary are the winners. They're Dairy Gold suppliers, and fair juice to them. The competition for this kind of an award is absolutely oh my God, you know, we talk about Usain Bolt in the Olympics. These people are fantastic. And they come from near Ballylooby, a place called Ballylamasna, near Kerr. So fair dues to them. There was about 16 or 17 awards given out at the today. And, you know, they're very deserved winners, all of them. But it's all about quality milk. And back to why IFA are down demonstrating on Lower Mount Street today outside the EU offices. Mercosur, they've made an offer of 70,000 tonnes of Brazilian or of South American beef to come into the country. And they're saying this is going to totally disrupt the market, because it's not the 70,000 tonnes, it's the fact that it's all the top end. So you're talking about way more than that in reality.
Right, thanks a million for coming into us. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal there, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big cheque for the delivery guy? GasNetworksIreland.ie/movetogas.